And we talked about how moving charges, when a charge is moving in a magnetic field, and a magnetic field is thought sort of analogously to an electric field, when a charge is moving in a magnetic field, it'll feel a force. And so we wrote down the relationship F equals QV cross B. All right? Now, all right, that's fine, but actually, you know, it's usually that's not what we have. I mean, if you have an electronic circuit, for instance, or you're manipulating electrical phenomena, at least in technology, you're not dealing with an electron moving around through space. What you're dealing with is electricity, and that electricity is confined to a conductor, and you're moving that electricity through some circuitry to do some work or to do different things. So what you're actually dealing with is not charge, you're dealing with current, right? And we've already talked about current. So these are electrons that are moving through some wire, some conductor, and each individual electron may have some drift velocity, and then, of course, the actual electrical signal goes much faster. So in general, what this would be, in the case of macroscopically, if we have some wire, you know, and we have our little electrons going through here with some VD, then this is the expression that we would have. So that would be the force on each electron inside of a wire that's moving with some drift velocity, V sub D. And this would be the case, say, if I had a magnetic field B pointing in some direction. I would have some force on that electron, and so I would have, in this particular case, V cross B, so I would have my force, in this case, would be into the board using the right-hand screw rule. Okay? But we don't really know, I mean, when we're talking about electronics, we don't know what the drift velocity is. Every time I have a wire, I don't want to deal with what is a drift velocity of an electron? That's some property of material I don't know. And I don't want to deal with this tiny little charge of each individual electron. I want to deal with a number that I know I can measure, the current. Okay? So what we want to do is we want to recast this in terms of macroscopic properties that we can know for our electrical circuit. We know the orientation of a wire. We know it's going in this direction. We know the amount of current, and those are things that we can measure macroscopically and easily. So if we take this expression, then in a given segment of this wire, okay, so let's say that this has some length L and some cross-sectional area A, and let's say that there is a number density, number per volume, called n, little n. Okay? So this is, I've got so many electrons per unit volume in this wire, and then I'm going to consider some segment of the wire which has some length L and some cross-sectional area A. Well, in this case, the total amount of charge, Q, is going to be n times A times L. So if I want to I want to try to recast this in terms of current and in terms of length of the wire. Well, the way that I can do this is I can note the following. The current is going to equal N times the charge of an individual electron times the drift velocity, because the drift velocity is telling me the rate at which electrons are passing through this cross-sectional area, this segment that I have, times the area itself. Okay, so I can so the current is going to equal to NQ V sub D times A. And of course, the current is going to be parallel to V sub D vector. It's also going to be parallel to L, just to keep that in mind. Yes?
Can I have a hard time
No, that's not the first question. So we have, what we want to do is we have a magnetic field, okay, B. And we know, since we talked about it on Tuesday, that if I have a magnetic field and I have a charged particle moving through that magnetic field, it will feel a magnetic force according to this equation here. But this equation is not the most useful equation to be using in a macroscopic environment where I've got current going through a wire. If I have current going through a wire, I'm not dealing with charge moving through space with some velocity. The numbers I know are current, length of the wire, things like that. So I need to consider, this is a description at the microscopic level, the force on an electron. I want to know what the force is on this wire. So I have to recast this in terms of, okay, fine, I know the force is on each wire. I want to rewrite this based on how many electrons are in the wire, the force that they feel, and how much volume is in the wire, that sort of thing. Okay? Well, so that's the first piece, is I want to recast this not in terms of charge of an electron and drift velocity of an electron. I want to recast this in terms of current in the wire, and I want to consider what the orientation of that current is so that I can figure out how is, you know, so I is also moving in this direction, and that has some orientation with respect to the magnetic field. Okay? All right? So I'm trying to write this in terms of macroscopic quantities. This is force on an individual electron here. Well, I want to know what is the force on the wire going to be? That's the question I'm trying to answer. Okay? So part of this is saying that in the wire, I have many electrons. So first of all, I'm going to have to multiply this number by the number of electrons I have per unit volume times the amount of volume I have. So that's what I'm starting to do by including I must have erased it, but by basically doing the scaling to the current. N is the number of electrons per volume. Okay? So what this is telling me, the current is telling me, is that the current, which is the charge per second, I'm writing it into in terms of that is the charge per electron times the number of electrons essentially per second. That's basically what that expression is telling me, if you think about the terms there. Well, it's, yeah, but if I take N times VD times A, that is basically the number of electrons per second. Okay? Does that make sense to people?
Is that V not an actual value?
V sub D. That is the drift velocity. So if you recall, before last week, we talked about electrical current. And we had the idea that we have electrons that are sort of bouncing around, you know. We put a magnetic field in this wire, and that will cause electrons to propagate through the wire, and they will do it with some velocity V sub D, some drift velocity. Okay? So this was from chapter 27. Okay? Okay? So do people see where I'm going? It's okay. Just bug me. I mean, I don't. All right. So I want to figure out how do I get this force on the wire. All right. Well, I can start to do this by taking my expression and considering, okay, well, the total force is basically going to be this equation times the number of electrons. So let's just consider that as F sub E times the number of electrons. Right? Okay, well this number of electrons is NAL. It's the number of electrons per unit volume times the volume that I'm considering of this wire. And the volume of this wire is the area times the length. Okay? Okay? So that would be Q V drift cross B times N A L. And now I have this expression up here for my electric current. So I've got my Q here, my N, my A, and my V sub D. So I can actually write this in terms of, we could think about this as I cross B times L. So I've just substituted in this expression here, considering that the I has a direction, which is in the direction of V sub D on the average. Okay? It's actually, this is not quite right though, because each electron, not all the electrons are always moving in the direction of the wire. Some of them are going this way, they're sort of bouncing around. Again, this was the discussion. So what's really the right way to write this is I times L, which is the direction of the wire, because on average, those electrons are all moving along the wire. Okay? So this expression tells me that if I have a wire of length L with a current in it, of current I in that wire, and that's embedded in a magnetic field B, now I can calculate the force on that wire. So I know the length of the wire and I know the current in the wire. Yeah. No. It has a direction in the sense that all the current is moving in this direction. But what the better way to write it is I L vector cross B vector. Okay? Okay, so so L is the vector that is in the direction of the current. All right, so if so, L is I mean, it's a little bit odd here the way that we talk about this, because L can either go this way or it can go this way, depending on what direction the current is going in this wire. So L is the direction of the current. Okay? Now, okay. So let's actually consider a case in which all right, so that's the expression for a wire. Now let's consider a case, actually, where this is actually example 29.2 from the book. But let's consider a case where we have, here's the x and y axes, and we have sort of this configuration. So it's sort of a semicircle arc of wire and then a straight section. And let's imagine that we have B field pointed in the upward direction. So this is the y-axis, and that's the x-axis. Okay? Now, and let's start at a point here, and we'll consider that we have some angle theta from the center point here on this length. We will, in this part of the wire, there is a current going in this direction to the right, and we'll call this length L. for the wire. And, of course, the current, if it's going this way in this segment, the current is going, the same amount of current is going back the other way in the curved segment. Okay? And then this is the B field. So the question is, all right, what is this loop, what is the total force on this loop? So there's a current going in this direction, going in this direction, and so this piece of the wire is going to feel a force. The other piece of the wire is going to feel a force. So what is going to be the total force? So let's just consider the straight section. Okay? So this is going to, we use the expression I L cross B. Now, what is the orientation, if we use this, of L with respect to B? Okay, so what would be the direction of the cross product? Right? So you've got L is this way, B is this way, so it's out of the board. Right? Okay? Which, in the way that we're doing it, would be a K hat. Right? It's in the positive Z direction. So X is I hat, Y is J hat, K hat is out of the board. All right? So what this ends up being is I times L, the magnitude of L, times the magnitude of B, K hat. Right? And we can put a positive sign on that. Now let's consider the curved section. Right? And we're keeping in mind, of course, that the total force is equal to the straight section plus the curved section. Right? The vector sum of these two. So we've just calculated the straight section, the force on the straight section. Well, what is it for the curved section? Well, we got a little bit of a problem. This section is curved. Okay? So we can't just do a simple cross product because the orientation of L and B is not constant across that piece of the wire. We're going to have to do an integral. But we can consider what it would be for a little segment here, dl. Okay? So we can write down that df, I'll just call it for brevity, c, sub c for curved, is going to be I b. Yeah, let's make sure that we DL cross B. Okay? Now, the way to write this is in terms of this, so we've got a sign, we've got a theta here. And for instance, if we're using this segment, it's mostly in the vertical direction. So it's actually going to be DL is actually parallel to B. So when we're over here, we actually have the cross product be quite small. Right? So can you see this? That DL here is basically pointing up. So if I've got DL cross B, I mean they're parallel. I can't even do the cross product. They're parallel. Here, DL is perpendicular to B and in a different direction. So, but we can consider this way, and we can write this down. So, the magnitude of DL the magnitude here is going to be r times d theta. Once we've taken the cross product. So we can write this as r, let me write it more clearly, d theta, okay? And so this is, let me try to write down then what the total force would be. It has to be equal to the integral from 0 to pi. And we're going to evaluate it by integrating over all of these thetas. So, let me do this a little differently. Let me not worry about what the vectors are here for the moment. Let's just talk about the magnitude of what this will be. So, what that will give me is basically the current times the magnetic field times r d theta. All right, that's what I was trying to get to. All right, so this is the magnitude of df here. Okay, now it has an orientation that I need to take account of with respect to the B field, so I have a sine theta here. So what I want to do is I want to take the integral of df sub c times sine theta. And once I integrate over all of theta from 0 here to pi here, then I will get what the total force is. Okay? And this will be a magnitude, but I don't want to do the cross product. I did it this way because I want to avoid doing a cross product inside of my integral. That will be agony. So I know that the orientation is such that I have a sine theta from the cross product times the df, the magnitude of df for each, for each increment of dl. Okay? Now, if I do my substitution, this would give me okay. Now these here are all constants, so they can come out of the integral. And so I have IBR, the integral 0 to pi, sine theta d theta. And this integral is a known integral. So this is IBR times the cosine of pi minus the cosine of 0. And this is going to equal minus 2 times I b r. So what is 2r? It's L, right? So this is minus I B L. Now this minus sign, I did this a little funny because again I'm terrified of cross products and integrals. So What I did was I simplified to get the magnitude of the force, and then I just put in the sine theta, so I don't have this cross product explicitly in there. But this negative sign, okay, is with respect to this direction, okay, because that's how I define theta. I have 0 here and pi here. So what this means is that F sub C equals IBL minus IBL k hat. Okay? So that means that this force is actually going to be going into the board. Okay?
And another way to think of this negative sign is this negative sign is, well, yeah. One way to think about it is it's relative to the way that I defined the sign in the beginning with current going in this direction. So the current, what's happened is I've taken for this whole segment only the part of each segment where the current is going either in this direction or this direction. The net current in this segment is going in the negative I direction. Okay, it's another way to think about it. So what you see is that this force is equal to the negative of this force, which means that the total force, which is the sum of the two, equals zero. Okay, so this is sort of a long-winded demonstration, but basically what has happened here is that whenever you have a loop of current, and this is a loop of current, doesn't really matter what the shape is, this is in a constant magnetic field, when you have that situation, if it's a closed loop, the total force on that loop is going to be zero. Now, what we've been talking about is if I have a current and I have a magnetic field, if I have a moving charge or a current in the presence of a magnetic field, that charge or the material that it's attached to, like a wire, will feel a force from the magnetic interaction or magnetic force. But we actually, if we follow up, and it's a pretty interesting it turns out that it's more complicated than that and more interesting than that in terms of what's happening with magnetism. Because if I have a wire, okay, and let's say I have a current on this wire going in this direction, the very fact that I have moving charges here, okay, is actually going to produce a magnetic field. Okay? And that's different from what we've been doing. What we've been dealing with is I have a magnetic field, I have a current, I feel a force. But now we're just dealing with I've got a wire, it's got a current, and it's going to create a magnetic field. So we want to think a little bit about this. This is a little bit like, you want to think about this a little bit analogously to the Coulomb's law case. I have a charge, and that charge creates an electric field. Here I have a current. That current is going to create a magnetic field. Right? So in Coulomb's law, so the example with Coulomb's law is I have a charge Q, and I have some electric field lines. Well, what's going to be the analogous case here? All right? Well, in Coulomb's law, if I think about a charge distribution where I have a little dq somewhere, then what I have is a dE, which equals k sub e times dq over r squared times r hat. So if I'm at some point here, I have some distance to that point to that charge, and I have an electric field from that charge. Okay? Now, in magnetism, we don't have isolated charges. We don't have north poles separated from south poles. So we don't, this Coulomb's law doesn't really apply. But there is actually an analogous expression that one can use. And it's related to some of the things that we've been talking about. So if we were doing it this way, and we wanted to know what the total E is at this point from this charge distribution, what would we do to this equation? What mathematical operation would we do? You'd integrate it, exactly. Okay? So this piece, though, contains the physics. It tells me that the E field is going to be parallel to the R vector. Okay, well, we know that in magnetic force and fields that the magnetic field is not necessarily parallel to the direction to the place that's generating the magnetic field because we've got this cross product. So, and I have to just state this, but
this piece here has an analogy in the magnetic world, which is basically current. Let's use the symbol I've already used. I, current, times dl cross r hat, where now I'm talking about I'm at some point P, and I have some vector here, r, from the wire to this point. So if I replace, so this little snippet of math is the symbolic equivalent of dq times r hat in the electric case. Okay, this is the element, the, you know, the magnitude of the current and the length of dl tells me how much of the quantity that generates the field I have. dq, if I have a larger charge, I have more field. If I have a little charge, I have less field. Here, if I have a larger current or a longer wire segment, I get more B field. If I have a smaller current or a smaller segment, I have less field. But then the direction of the field that I get from this wire is given by this cross product, not just by the direction R hat. Okay? And so now this here, KE, which equals 1 over 4 pi epsilon naught, this expression also has an equivalent. So let's start writing this out. So this constant, which has to do with the strength of the electric field, it's a proportionality constant, we have a constant for the magnetic case, mu naught over 4 pi. So that's analogous to 1 over 4 pi epsilon naught. And actually, we have the same 1 over r squared behavior with respect to this little segment of wire. So if I just worried about this little piece of wire, now it's impossible to have a current in a little piece of a wire. The current is flowing. So really, we need some long wire that's a closed loop at some point. But if I could just imagine the magnetic field at this point from this little piece of wire, then it would obey a 1 over r squared rule. Okay? This expression is called the Biot-Savart law. Okay? And this expression is sort of parallel to Coulomb's law for an E field. Okay? The structure of this relationship has the same structure as this relationship. It is a field is equal to, with a proportionality constant, some field-generating quantity, IDL, with some direction given by the cross product. Here, the field-generating quantity is dq, and the direction is given by r. So here it's a little more complicated. And then it goes down, the strength of that field goes down as 1 over r squared, the distance from that little segment. Okay? It's more complicated, sure. It's more complicated because I don't have any monopoles. But you hopefully could see that these are very similar, and hopefully that will help you to remember how to use. These are very similar. Now, the Biot-Savart law is usually pretty complicated to apply, and we'll just do a little bit with it, but okay. And you know, you could go a little further, and if you wanted to do an integral, B would then be okay. So this is often what the Biot-Savart law ends up looking like.
Okay. But this is really the important piece, the important insight. And to make it clear, what are we doing here? Well, we have our point P. This here is our delta DL. It's our little segment. It has a direction along the wire. So that direction is tangent to the wire at that point. And so it has some orientation with respect to the radius vector to the point that I care about. Now, we can think about this a little bit too, because if what in this particular case, so I have, say, DL going down towards me, and I have R here. What direction at point P is the magnetic field going to be from the Biot-Savart law? So I have, so DL is coming down like this, and R is going like this to point P. Anybody want to hazard a guess? No? Okay, it's okay. So you have this expression here. Now, I've got all these numbers, I, mu naught, whatever, but this is the part that has the direction information, DL cross R hat. So DL is this way, and R is going to cause, cross R is going to cause me to do this, right? Because R is here. So DL cross R hat means that the magnetic field is going to come out of the board at this point. Okay? So B is out at this point. So B field is pointing out. Okay? What if I had a point here? So now I have another R. What direction is the magnetic field pointing there? Here, the magnetic field is out of the board because I have DL cross R. So what is the direction of the magnetic field here? Into the board, right? So here, I have DL cross R. And so the cross product goes into the board. Does that make sense? Okay. So without doing anything except looking at the cross product, you can get a little bit idea what the orientation of the magnetic field is. The thing you should note is that any point on this side of the wire, the magnetic field is going to be coming outside of the board. Any point on this side of the wire, the magnetic field is going to be going into the wire. And what that means is that if this was my wire and I had a current going down it, that the magnetic field is arranged, the magnetic field lines are arranged around the wire. So when I have a point charge, the electric field lines radiate outside, away from the wire. But that's not what happens with the magnetic field around a current-carrying wire. In this case, the magnetic field wraps around the wire. Okay? All right? So it's more complicated than the electrical case. But the logic of what we're doing is the same. Yeah, sorry. In the way that I just did it, yes. So that's right. L, DL is always in the direction of the current, one way or the other. Okay? So this is the Biot-Savart law. Now, let's... Okay. Let's do another example, do an example where we have a wire here, and let's say that we have a current I going up, and we have some point here, P. And this wire
We have some little segment here, DL. And let's say that from this point here to this segment, let's say that this distance is L. And we have an R vector here and an angle theta here. All right, so we have a wire, an infinitely long wire with a current in it, little I. And I want to calculate, based on the Biot-Savart law, what the magnetic field will be at point P. Now, at point P, from this little dl, I will have a dB. Okay? So I want to calculate what that is and get the final expression for the magnetic field at this point. So first I start with my dB is going to be using the Biot-Savart law is mu naught I over 4 pi dl cross r over r squared. And the thing to notice is that this piece here has a constant direction. Okay? L, so I have L is always in this direction, and R is always, at point P, is always on that side. So always I cross R is always in this, for points on this side, into the board. Yes? This is R vector. Okay? So at this point, dB is into the page. Okay? So we can already assume that, I mean, get that from the cross product. Now, the thing is, to do this, we want to do the same trick. We want to convert this to a scalar, get rid of the cross product so that we could do an integral here, because otherwise it's going to be quite painful. So the way that we do this is we're going to write down L from minus infinity to infinity mu naught I over 4 pi. And we're going to end up with the same kind of thing that we had a little bit ago. And I'm really sorry that my handwriting is such a disaster. I can't reach that high. So we're just putting in Biot-Savart law, but we're doing the cross product in the sense that, in this case, dl cross r just has this sine theta dl on it. Okay? So this has the angular information, and dl has the information about how big dl is. Now, the thing about this is, I don't know how to do this yet. Why? Because several of these parameters depend on each other. So r equals l squared plus r squared. Sine theta equals sine pi minus theta. Okay, we'll just. But more importantly, this equals r over l squared plus r squared. Okay, so sine theta here is going to be equal also to the sine of this angle here, theta prime, which is pi minus theta. Okay? And so we have, and so that is going to, we got a right triangle in here, so we can solve based on the magnitude of r. Yeah, wait a minute. Ah, okay. I forgot to add one more thing. R is the perpendicular distance to
to point P, capital R. Okay, sorry. So we know the hypotenuse here, and we know this piece here. The magnitude of little r is the hypotenuse here, so we know that in terms of little l and r. So we know these things, and so we could substitute into this expression to get so it's equal to mu naught I over 4 pi, and then we integrate from negative infinity to infinity, because we're integrating over L, and we have R dl times L squared plus R squared to the 3 halves. This is a, you can't read it in the back, that's a 3 halves. Okay? So this is what all I've done is substituted this for R, I've got an R squared, and this for sine theta, and this is what you get if you do the algebra out. Okay? Now if I do the integral here, what you end up with is L over L squared plus R squared, the square root of that, from infinity, negative infinity to infinity. And if you then plug this in at these endpoints, it makes this. So if you plug this in, what you end up So when you plug this in, basically the L's go, this part goes to a ratio of 1. What you end up with is here, mu naught I over, 2 pi times R. Okay? Where this is the perpendicular distance to point P. Okay, so what I've tried to do here is I've tried to apply the Biot-Savart law to each of these segments and then integrate over the whole line and do this integral. So you get this expression. This is one of these expressions you should know. This is the magnetic field, the magnitude of the magnetic field at a perpendicular distance from an infinite wire with a current I. Okay? And you know, this just gives you the magnitude, but you know the direction because you can go back to the Biot-Savart law and say here it's in and over here it's going to be out of the board. And it's going to wrap around the wire. But what you can see is that the magnitude is proportional to 1 over R. So the magnetic field gets weaker as I move away from the wire with a 1 over R dependence. Okay, people have any questions?